And this is the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. Today's podcast, we'll be doing a teaching called False Prophets Are Like Roaring Lions. They seek to devour souls. Premise of this lesson, I know several years ago, the Holy Spirit led me to Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 25 through 28, which states the following. There's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like roaring lions ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. And her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between unclean and the clean. They hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. So when we look at verse 25, it states, it's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst of the people to go around as ravening lions, devouring souls. In verse 28, it states that they're divining lies, which they're operating in the spirit of divination, acting as if God has spoken when he has not. These false prophets are just like their father Satan. They're like a roaring lion. They seek to devour those that are spiritually unalert, those who are lukewarm, those who are counter-minded, and they look to prey upon their souls. Individuals like this in the church become so intoxicated by the influence of seducing spirits, which Paul talks about in, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 4. He talks in the latter days, people will be given over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm going to go on. So they become so intoxicated where when we look at the scriptures and it says to be sober-minded and it talks about being vigilant and you have to be that way to be led by the Holy Spirit, that you're not destroyed by demonic forces. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh and about, seeking whom he may devour. The lack of spiritual discernment makes a person believe that a wolf in sheep's clothing is really a true man or woman of God that speaks to oracles of God. And in fact, they tell lies just like their father, Satan, who is the actual author and father of lies. And when we go over to John chapter 8, verse 44, which it says that he is the father of lies. When people stop hearkening to giving an ear to hear what the word of God says, it makes them more susceptible to the voice of the serpent and leads them astray from the very will of God. And it gives them over to a delusion to reject truth and hold more dear to lies and things that line up with their flesh and not walking in discernment, not testing the spirits. I'm going to go to a Bible story that really illustrates a godly person led astray by being obedient, following God's word, but following the words of a so-called prophet that leads them to destruction. This is found in 1 Kings chapter 13, with the man of God, the prophet from Judah, went down to Bethel to prophesy. So we're going to examine this. This is going to be primarily the premise. Reason why we teach these things, especially within our ministry, is because Jesus warns in the Olivet Discourse at least four times about deception, spiritual deception, warns about false prophets, and we have to take heed to the Word of God. There's so much stuff that's going on in the church world where people go to these prophetic conferences and go to these revivals and these convocations and these conventions, and they have these so-called prophets or calling out bank account numbers, your mom's maiden name, and so many other things and all. And a lot of times these people are either fraud or they're not even operating under the Holy Spirit. They're operating under clairvoyance and divination. So we have to be able, especially in these last days, to be able to discern and to test. You're supposed to always test the Spirit, and also to make sure it lines up with the Word of God, because I believe it's over in Peter, it talks, you have a more sure prophecy when it's referenced to the Word of God. So we're going to examine this young man and the fate of this young man, this prophet, the man of God, in 1 Kings chapter 13. And it says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." So I'm going to stop there. So it says that the man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. So if you go back to some of our teachings and some of our podcasts, we have a podcast called Jesus is the Word and the Spirit of Prophecy. We talk about how in the Old Testament, how the word of the Lord would come up on the prophets. And we looked at that because when you look at New Testament with John 1, and it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. We see in the Old Testament where the word of the Lord would come up on the prophets in a vision or come unto the prophet. It was actually a manifestation of Jesus coming and giving the prophet the word to speak and having a visitation of Jesus. That's another lesson within itself. So it says, "And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child should be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, upon thee. He offered the priest of the high places and burned incense upon them, and the men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." So here that shows that this young man, this prophet, is a true prophet, prophetic gift. He had prophesied years ahead of time that King Josiah would set up and would downthrow all the paganism and all the pagan priests that were burning incense in these high places, worshiping these strange gods, and would be a godly king that would follow righteousness and will try to bring restoration upon the nation following Yahweh. So we go on, and he says, "And he gave the sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him, and his hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. And the altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God has given by the word of the Lord. And the king answers and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored in me again. And the king and the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored in him again. It became as it was before." So here we have the prophet is prophesying. King Jeroboam, if you know the story where the kingdom is divided, Jeroboam as he takes the northern part of Israel, becomes Israel, and Rehoboam, which is the seed of David, takes the south, and it becomes the kingdom of Judah, because it's a split happens shortly after Solomon's death. And Jeroboam starts off right, but then Jeroboam falls into apostasy, and he begins to follow strange gods, and he sets up a religious system in Bethel with these pagan priests and the worship of idols. So he gets angry at the man of God. The man of God is not confirming and affirming his sins, or saying, oh, you're going to be a great king, you're going to have great palaces, you're going to have great chariots. He's delivering the word of the Lord. And then when he tried to lay hands on this man, he tried to get violent with him, the Lord dried up his hand, and he had to ask the prophet to heal him. So we go unto verse 8, and it says, and the man of God said unto the king, if thou would give me half thy house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat the bread nor drink water in this place. So the king is saying, come home with them. And here's the prophet, unlike what we see in modern day church with the prophet, say, okay, you get a prophet's reward, I'll give you a word, you need to sow a seed of $91 for Psalms, 91 for spiritual protection, and using all these gimmicks and scamming people out of money. He was like, you can give me half of your stuff, but I'm not going to take it, because I'm on a mission from the Lord. So he says, for so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So here he's saying, I'm not going to eat any bread, I'm not going to drink any water, I'm not going to turn anyway. I'm coming down here to Bethel from Judah to deliver a word of the Lord. So he went another way and returned not by the way he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king, and them that they told also their father. And the father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, and which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said unto him, come home with me, eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, and as thou art, an angel spake unto me the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto that the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God and came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and has not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and has eaten bread, drank water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, and eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he eaten bread and after he had drank, that he saddled for him, the ass, to wit, for the prophet of whom he had brought back. And he was gone, and a lion met him by the way, slew him and his carcass, and was cast in a way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, the men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord." Therefore the Lord had delivered him unto the lion, which he had torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, "Saddle me the ass." And they saddled him. And when he went and found his carcass in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass, the lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn, to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." Notice a couple of things in regards to this. Let's examine what we just got through going. The man of God was to go to Bethel. Number one, that was his mission, to deliver the word of the Lord, the prophetic word, to King Jeroboam, which we already stated was the first king of the northern kingdom. And we all know that Jeroboam fell into idolatry and gross apostasy. So we see point one, this prophet did not go to Jeroboam to prophesy blessings, gold, material things, and he was not divine in lie. So he didn't go down there to build a reputation, build a brand, and tell him, prophesy smooth things. He delivered the word of the Lord. He says that the man of God cried out against idolatry and predicted that Josiah would destroy the false worship system of Judah and bring the religious reforms, which we see that's confirmed that Josiah did end up doing that. And we also see that Jeroboam's hand was dried up, and he needed the prophet to help him. And we see verse 5, the altar was rent, and he poured ashes out from the altar according to the sign, confirming the man of God and the word of the Lord that he gave. We see verse 6, Jeroboam asked the man of God to pray that his hand be restored, and that the king wanted to bring him home to give him a reward of the man of the God. So did the man of God go back home to receive riches and notoriety? Of course not. Nope, he didn't do that. He told Jeroboam, he says, "Listen, Jeroboam, if you give me like half of your house, I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to eat with you. I'm not going to drink with you," because he was charged by the word of the Lord. He was commanded by the word of the Lord not to eat bread nor drink nor turn again by the way he came to Bethel to go in that direction. Let's look at the second point. In this story, the old prophet of Bethel heard about the exploits of the man of God and went to seek out the man of God. And when the old prophet encountered the man of God, the prophet of Judah, the old prophet asked him to come back home to eat. The prophet of Judah responds that the word of the Lord has mandated him not to eat, not to drink, nor stray from the path that he was supposed to go. But we hear the response of the old prophet. He says the following, "I'm a prophet also, and thou art an angel spake unto me the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back home unto thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water." So he said an angel came to him and told him this, but it contradicts what the man of God receives, the word of the Lord, the word of God. The word of God takes much more prevalence over any so-called prophet or prophetess that comes into a church, gives you a few little personal prophecies and all. If you're not testing the spirit, and if you're not making sure it lines up with the word of God. You don't follow that direction. I don't care how much they revealed unto you that it may seem true. If it's not lining up with the word of God, line up on line, precept on precept, you're not supposed to follow after it. So this so-called angel that he's talking about contradicts the word of the Lord for him to stray the path to eat and drink. So once they get to the old prophet's house, the old prophet delivers the truth to the prophet of Judah that he disobeyed the mouth of the Lord. He didn't keep the commandments by going back with him to eat at his house. And eventually the man of God from Judah leaves the old prophet's house, as we read in the story, and he headed back home and he slew by a lion. So when we look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, this is a very great passage which warns us, which says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so I say I now again, if any man preaches any other gospel unto you that you receive, let him be accursed. This story is a perfect review that 1 Kings chapter 13 that shows that we should always stand on the word of God and be in total, absolute 100 obedience instead of heeding to even angels that contradict the word of God. And you see it a lot within charismatics movement and the New Apostolic Reformation, the NAR group with their apostles and prophets, invoking angels, and an angel came and told me this, and I'm seeing angels and I'm having visitations of angels, and it's not sound scripture. It's not going off the word of God. Even stuff that we see supernatural manifestation, we have to test the spirit and make sure it lines up by the word of God. The word of God keeps a hedge around us. It keeps us protected from being deceived and being led astray into destruction, being slew by these spiritual lions and all. We can see, again, prime example of false prophets like Todd Bentley. He had an angel who guided him by Emma, and this was a false prophetic angel that came up on him, and he was telling these angels, you can go to YouTube, commanding angels, invoking angels. We see with Paula White when the Trump and Biden election of 2020, she was invoking angels and praying angels from Africa and South America to come to aid, and a bunch of foolishness and witchcraft and other things that doesn't even line up with the word of God. So when you're being led astray by error and deception and other things, it opens you up for spiritual destruction when you give heed to seducing spirits and you're given over to a spiritual delusion where you'll deny truth and you'll embrace a lie. So we have to know that Satan's ministers can transform themselves into an angel of light. They can make it seem like that they're speaking truth. And if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, because in John 14, it talks about that the Holy Spirit, I think it's verse 26, either 25 or 26, says the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you, not into some truth, but into all truth. And you have to read the word of God and to study it and make sure that you really know the scriptures and meditate Be like it says in Joshua 1:8, to meditate there upon day and night, to meditate upon the word of God, to think upon the word, to know scriptures, because when the enemy comes after you and you're able to discern the deception, you won't be devoured by the lion. So these false prophets that are arising, they're just like their father Satan. They're liars, and they devour souls. The main thing is you don't want to be led astray and led into deception and embrace a lie, because you have to think your eternal soul is at risk. You have to make sure that you have to really guard your spirit, guard your soul, that you don't let that stuff infiltrate you, that you're able to always go ahead and test the spirit and judge. And if somebody's giving you a prophecy, you don't just immediately, because it sounds good and it's confirming some of your carnal desires, some of your self-ambition and other things, and all, that must be God. That must be God. God's opening up doors. God's doing a new thing, and the prophet came and he confirmed it. You have to go and make sure it lines up with the word of God. You have to do self-inventory and ask the Holy Spirit, is this truly a word coming from you, or is it coming from an external source that is leading me astray? And sometimes people, it can be a gradual progression of leading you astray. You start hearkening onto these prophetess and these prophets. You start to going all to their meetings. You're sowing all these seeds of these offerings, and they're telling you, prophesying smooth things. They're not telling you to repent. When we look at prophetic ministry, is the message that the prophet or prophetess preaching, is it inocular? Is it a weight? Is it going to change your heart? Is it going to bring you into repentance? Is it going to make you stronger in your faith? Is it going to make you look at like, God, I've been coming up short. I need to do more for the kingdom, and not trying to build my own kingdom and build my own brand and selfish ambition and bring you to tears and reflection and look at certain things that are hidden down in your heart with pride and arrogance and just other things and all, and rebellion and just other things and all. And if that's not the case, most of the time these so-called prophetic ministries, they preach a little cute message and they get the music to stir you up. And then once they get the music to stir you up, and then they know that you got you into an emotional high, then they take up offering, and then they start giving people words, which they give you this carnal desire. Oh, I want to give, because maybe if I go and I place my offering in the offering pen, I'll get a word. And you're not seeking the truth. You're not seeking after God. The word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added unto you. You're seeking your own brand. You're seeking to build your own kingdom, but you're not seeking to build the kingdom of God, which puts you in danger when these false prophets who come like roaring lions, they devour. And when we looked at Ezekiel, it talks about getting dishonest gain. Their primary focus is to get dishonest gain, to make merchandise of you, to merchandise the word of God, which 2 Peter, I believe, chapter 2, talks about. So we have to really be spiritually woke in these last and evil days, to be vigilant, to be prayerful. We have to be like the Bereans, to study the word of God, to make sure it lines up. And just don't be, I know you may love like your pastor and who you sit up underneath, But even with them, you have to save yourself, and you have to make sure that things line up with the word of God. What's being preached, what's being prophesied is truth. And you have to judge it based on the word of God, not your feelings, not your emotions, because if you do that, and if you lean onto your own understanding, just like we read with this, the man of God that came down from Judah, he just based on the rep, and again, we can't go off reputation off ministers and just like, oh, this person has a reputation of being a powerful prophetess or prophet, and I'm just following after them. You have to follow the word of God, because that's what happened with this man of God from Judah. He just thought like, this is an old prophet. He has a reputation. He says he's a prophet. He's an old prophet. He's a man of age. He looks like he's distinguished. And I'm going to follow him because he sounds spiritual. It sounds spiritual. But is it the word of God? Is it the Holy Spirit that's speaking? Okay. So be aware of false prophets, because they are like roaring lions. They seek to devour your soul, and your soul is so precious. You want to spend eternity in the presence of the Lord, and you don't want to get led astray and embrace a lie and end up going to hell in a lake of fire because you refuse truth, but you embrace the lie, and eventually it causes your eternal soul to miss heaven. God bless. This is the End Time Shofar End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. Hopefully you receive something from today's lesson.